hindsight is 20/20. When I look back at things that happened in the past, even in Scripture, I say, okay, I can understand it now because I get to look at, here's what God did. What I would like to look at this afternoon, I'd like to still remember those verses. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. As high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how much higher my ways are than yours. And I'd like to look at something that tells us how his thoughts are so much different from ours. In just about a week, we will celebrate Christmas. Whether it happened on that day or not really doesn't matter to me. There's one day that Jesus was born, and I would like to give thought to that day. So what I'd like to do for a little bit this afternoon is kind of forget that we live in 2019. And if you rolled back the years and you lived in Old Testament times and you were looking forward to a Messiah to come, what would you have to help your thoughts to picture who this is going to be? There were scriptures that you could use, and it painted a picture in a lot of people's mind. Here is who is coming. Does anybody have a prophecy in the Old Testament that would have painted a picture, if you took it, would give you an anticipation of, okay, I see who this is going to be. When he comes, this is what is going to happen. The one that I'm thinking about, and if you have another one, have it ready. Daniel 2 and 44. You know, because a lot of the book of Daniel was written at a time when these folks were slaves. Daniel was a slave. There's anticipation out ahead. There's a day when the Messiah is coming. And here was this prophecy. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. If you were one of those living at the time of Daniel, and you were in slavery, this prophecy would draw a picture in your mind of what is coming. When the Messiah comes, this is what's going to happen. And so hundreds of years later, they're still looking for the Messiah, and they still have this prophecy to look at. When he does come, he's going to break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, which that's going to be the Roman kingdom. It's coming. We don't know for sure when it's going to be, but we got some anticipation of it coming. Does anyone have another verse that would draw a picture for you? Liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. That in itself draws you a picture of what you will look for when the Messiah does come. I was thinking of another one. Does anybody else have another one that you're thinking of? What about Isaiah 9 and 6? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So for all these years, the Jews have been able to pass this down. Well, it has not happened in our generation, but it's coming. The time is coming. And so in my thoughts, in our thoughts, we had thought it would be this way. Taking these scriptures, would we have been any different than the Jews at that time? We're under Roman rule. Hopefully it will come at this time where he is going to, his kingdom will be forever. Well, that sounded great. And the only thought that could be going through my mind is he's going to cut off this Roman Empire and he will lead it, the Jews again. Well, so then God is going to, what does he say? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So then we look at how it really came about. And I was looking at this in Luke, the second chapter. And we read these, a lot of times we'll read this on Christmas morning or something. But Luke in the second chapter and in the ninth verse, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." In our thoughts, with what we have seen of prophecy coming up, what should that be doing? That ought to be some big announcement over Jerusalem to reach the most people that it could reach. Here is an announcement that this Messiah you've been looking for has come now. But was it over Jerusalem? Nope. To shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel said to them, 10th verse, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And now here's the announcement of where you will find this King. "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. We see sometimes reaching a big mass of people is the way to do it. God could have done it. God could have brought him somewhere besides a manger. But instead, this is the picture that we have. And then what would this, what value would this be right here? "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying," you know, my thoughts would be, why waste that on some shepherds? Use this on the biggest day in Jerusalem and make that announcement and you will impress so many. There will be so many that are glorifying God. "Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." His thoughts are not my thoughts. God saw it, all of this to be used to give to a few shepherds. And those shepherds, you know, what did they expect when they had read prophecy before? Well, they got a pretty good announcement right here. So what are they going to look for when they go to Bethlehem? And it says, 16th verse, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it," 16th, 17th verse now, "and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And you know what? We hear nothing more about anyone else or crowds coming saying, "We want to be a part of this." This makes me realize more and more, I don't see things the way God sees them. Where I feel like this is so important, Lord, for your name to be glorified, it needs to be done this way. And he took this multitude of the heavenly host, and like a firework display that would have impressed so many, he used it up on a few shepherds that are abiding with their flocks by night. And they come in and they see this babe. And you know what? They don't say, "What is wrong? This is something doesn't match this multitude here, and he's in a manger." They saw it and went and told concerning this child. But we don't see anybody else coming from this and crowds coming to worship him. But then I want to go to another place. And this is in Matthew, the second chapter. Because over the next few days, we will be thinking about these. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But here's some men that had some thoughts. Second chapter of Matthew, the first verse. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." I wonder what their anticipation was. What would they find? This has got to be something great. There's a star that has led us to this king, and we're wanting to come and worship him. Now, this is like a window of opportunity for the people in Jerusalem to say, wait a minute, we have anticipated something for a long time, and here is an announcement from these wise men coming through here. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Troubled. You know, they've been anticipating a Messiah. The Jews had been anticipating Messiah all those years. And said, when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they instantly had the answer, because they had been anticipating it themselves. And they tell him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now that's enough to make Herod really wonder about it. But here's this opportunity. They know, the chief priests know the timing. They know when he does come, he's coming from here. And what is strange to me is Herod calls them and he finds out, when is the first time that you saw the star? You know, a lot of times when we're thinking about this scene, we think about them coming up and seeing the baby in the manger. But this was 2 years later that he came. He's living in a house now, Jesus is, with his parents. And Herod is asking him, when did you first start seeing this time? And they tell him the time, and he tells them, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him." So these wise men, they see the star again, and they're headed toward Bethlehem. What is their anticipation? We're about to see the king now. We are now, the star is leading us to him. And it says, when they saw the star, 10th verse, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. See, some people, the opportunity passed them up, while others took advantage of it. Because these wise men, they did not have in their mind preconceived ideas, it's got to be this way. Because it says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy when they saw the star. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. You know, they were not, it did not have to be a king with a crown. They recognized this is where the star has stopped. This is who it will be. So I was looking at this. You know, the very thing that can lead us closer to God will cause others to be turned away. The opportunity was there for everybody to come and worship Jesus. But some had preconceived ideas in their mind. This is who it will be. If he's not coming to deliver me from the Romans, I'm not interested in that, because I've already read these prophecies that say that he's going to start a government that'll never be ended. And so I look at this, and it was like God gave some little glimpses, opportunities. If you want it, if you're willing to accept it, here's an opportunity for you to be able to see Jesus. And I was looking at another one. If we look back in Luke again, because with all these people in the 2 years that it has been, we don't see very many people that recognize him as Christ. But in 2:25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Now this is back to just 8 days after Jesus was born. And they're bringing him into the temple to make a sacrifice, to offer a sacrifice for him. And here is a man that is walking with God. So close, he says, "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, he recognized who this was. Probably didn't look different than any other baby that was coming in. But he recognized and he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And there was another woman, Anna, in the 38th verse. She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now you would think those sacrifice that they were bringing for Jesus, there's going to be a chief priest there that's going to accept it. There are be workers in the temple, but none of them recognize that this was the Messiah that's being brought in, except for Anna and Simeon. Our thoughts can head off in a direction of how things ought to be, and we miss what God really had for us. It happened with the disciples. The disciples had thoughts of where this was going to lead. They had an anticipation of being what a follower of Christ was going to do for them. Remember when Jesus would ask them, he said, what were you talking about while we were walking along the way? And they didn't want to tell him. Because their anticipation was, this thing is going to climax into a place where we're going to decide who's going to be the greatest. We're looking at who's going to be the greatest in this when it gets started. And passed up the opportunity of what it was really all about. And Jesus had to work with them. Because, you know, when Jesus was going to be gone, what would it be if it was left to a group of men that are trying to decide who's going to be the greatest? So he told them, this is not about that at all. In fact, you remember, they asked him, even after he had died and risen again, and they saw him, they had a question. First chapter of Acts, wilt thou at this time restore Israel back? We're still thinking, okay, you died, you rose again, now maybe it's still going to happen. But he's trying to tell them this is something totally different than what you're looking for. I'd like to look at a verse in John the 18th chapter. 18 and 36. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, 36 verse, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And then he tells us over in Luke, the 17th chapter, 17 and 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So he was trying to give them a picture. Here's what you can expect from when I came. Here's what I was going to be able to do for you. And you remember, there was a couple men. I see this in Luke 24. And this is where I got that thought of, we had trusted, or we had thought. Luke 24, after Jesus rose again, 24 and 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. So Jesus has died. He's no longer in the tomb this morning, and they're trying to figure it all out. It says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. You know, I'm thinking about us in our time today. Jesus could be going right along beside us. Yes. And my eyes are holden, even in all these things that we're praying about. Lord, would you please work these out? God, where are you? He may be right beside us. And our eyes are holding that we should not know him. I don't understand what his workings are, so it seems like he's not here. And they didn't recognize him. And it goes on down in the 21st verse. They're telling him, you must be a stranger to this area because you haven't heard what all has happened. And he says, we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Our thoughts were that this was the one that was going to redeem Israel, but he's dead and he's gone now. Our thoughts today can be, this is the direction that any of our problems should have gone. To me, what I'm asking the Lord to help me with is, Lord, help me to see who you are. Help me to see that my ways will never be his ways. My thoughts won't be his thoughts. His are going to always be higher than mine. So I'm thinking about some verses of a song. God's way is best, if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. And it says, thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best. I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. Wherever he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. When I look now at the Jews, I kind of understand a little more if they were only using those scriptures. But you know what? There were some other scriptures to let us know that Jesus was going to suffer. There were going to be stripes applied to him, and there was going to be something besides this governor that they were expecting. Sometimes I'm looking for what I want, and I don't see the direction that God would like to take something. My prayer is, Lord, help me to see that your ways are higher, and help me to seek for those ways in my life. That is our prayer.